Okay, staff reports, augmentation order.
Policy, Larry?
All right, thank you. I will try to run this through as quickly as I can. And you'll recall, we had a request before you last month about augmentation water, and so that led to some discussion here today. So.
There we go.
Crystal Mountain Ranch was in last month asking for 20 acre feet of augmentation water on a permanent basis if that was available. And so we wanted to look at, well, what does that really mean? And these are questions that we really do need to be asking, because there's only so much of this. It's got special characteristics, and there are ways you can use it that are quite valuable. So it's right that we take a step back and look. I think from the staff perspective, we'd like to have some sort of policy or something that we can look to as we make decisions about this water in the future. Why do people need augmentation water? Well, here's what it is. It's used to replace uses of water that people make that are out of priority, such as drilling a well that's very junior to the river running by. You can put water back in the river to make the river whole, or evaporation from gravel pits. Those are just examples. But it allows uses of junior water by making sure that other people who are using water are not injured. And so those qualities are valuable. An easy example of where augmentation water comes from is something like Windy Gap. It's brought transbasin, so all of its impacts are already mitigated on the basin it came from. When it comes to a new basin, there has been no historic dependence built on that water, so it can be used to extinction, and it can be used to fill in lots of gaps like this. There are other ways that this water can be created as well. But the whole purpose is to protect the regime on the river, the senior rights. Well, how many augmentation plans has Loveland gotten involved with up to date? And outside of our own uses, there are just four. But two of them are quite small and they're more recent, and two of them are quite large and they're from the past. The dates, if I remember right, let's see, I think I have them. I think it was 2006 for Sunrise Ranch out at the Emissaries of Divine Light. They needed about 3 acre feet of augmentation water, and they gave the city 6 units of CBT. Is that right?
It just doesn't stay put.
Sure is short. So am I, but not that short. Thank you, Michelle.
I'm trying to get it to stay.
I think we may need a new yeah. Is that the CIP?
Who's got the CIP? Yeah.
Old duct tape will take care of that. Yeah. Yeah.
This is like that chair we saw on that other photo. Okay, knee-high works, I guess.
Take a seat, Larry.
Sure. Also, Sylvandale Ranch in 2017 needed augmentation water for some ponds they had, and they gave us 12 units of CBT water. We are providing 6 acre feet of augmentation water for them. Those two entities
per year,
yes. Mm-hmm. But we have the use of the CBT water. That was a permanent transfer that occurred. These two entities have a close nexus to the city. Both of them have worked with us on our reservoir out of Green Ridge Glade in different ways, and have worked very closely with the city. And that becomes important in some of the discussions we had with some of the other entities. In the past, we also entered into 2 augmentation agreements in 1998. And these are fairly large. Colson excavation was 100 acre feet, and Loveland Ready Mix was 200 acre feet. So those are pretty sizable numbers. Those are on a 25-year renewable lease that I'm sure they'll be wanting to renew. I don't think these have been fully utilized yet, but they will be in the future. There are times when small amounts of water need to be released. A lot of times, replacements are required by the state on a 24-hour basis, day to day. And even if you have a fair amount of water, a number of acre feet spread out over a month, the flow is pretty low. And one of the ways we can augment is to release water when necessary from Green Ridge Glade and put it back into the river. However, we had no mechanism to allow us to do that at a slow rate. The smallest valve on the reservoir was a 14-inch valve, and you just can't handle a garden hose size release like that. So we have just completed an installation out at the water treatment plant, which will allow us to make these types of releases into the channel that flows by the plant underneath the driveway and on down to the river. And the distance there is a little under 1,500 feet to the river. And here's where we're talking about. This would start up at the north end of the plant buildings, right near a structure we call the sleeve valve vault. I'm sorry, I can't reach it, but up at the top there. And we'd just come right down the channel and hit the river right down in this area. It's well below the dam and stuff you can see here that you're familiar with.
Is that treated or untreated?
That's raw water. That's raw untreated. Water. What we're doing is it just tapped into the side of a raw water line that's coming into the plant, and then we can let it out to the side.
Does that have to be piped or can it be free flow channel?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Does that have to be piped or can it be channeled?
Well, it can be channeled. Yeah, the point is just to get it down to the river. We haven't even used this yet. We're ready to test it, try it out, and see how it works. We make releases already to the river right here from the decant ponds, so this is generally moist down through here. So we may have some losses in getting it to the river in the channel, but we'll be able to make returns. And the idea with something like this is you add up different needs that you have, and just you turn it on, and it just runs, and let it go, and then you can account for it. We'll need this for some of our own purposes, especially as we start using our second major decree, the one we call the 392 decree. In that one, unlike our earlier decree in 202A, two of the ditches, the Loudon and the South Side, our furthest west ditches, were segmented into upper and lower segments, and there are returns required in those segments, and we'll probably need to be using this for some of that as well as different types of augmentation. So this is a good addition that we have here. Well, what we did after the discussion we had here was to go out and talk with providers, a total of 8 different communities, and that included all of the major towns around us: Fort Collins, Greeley, Longmont, Boulder, several of the districts. Lafayette, I think, was one of them that we managed to talk with, and talk with Sean briefly a little bit too on their situation. But the question was, what are you doing? How do you handle this augmentation water? And you can see in your packet just some notes from the phone conversations that we had, and it was really quite interesting. Just seeing, and it's fairly uniform, we found, the way people are approaching this. I would say that the big takeaway is that almost all of the providers are very, very reluctant to provide this water right now on any sort of a long-term basis. This whole idea of augmentation and all is being, of course, administered by the state very rigidly at this point in time. But that's relatively new in the water resources world, and I think people are trying to figure out how far their supplies will go, what is this water worth, how much will they need themselves before they make commitments to other entities that might need it outside their own community. And so, you know, here's kind of what it came down to. Some of them will provide augmentation water, most of them, if there's a very strong nexus. Boulder referred to it as a righteous cause. And something that fit in that is a kid's fishing pond. They would do that, but not for somebody's pond out, you know, on the ranch somewhere. And so they've done some small things there. Obviously,
can I ask a question about the strong nexus? Does that also get to the proximity of the project or parcel to the city
area? It could be looked at in a number of ways. Proximity is one, and economic impact on the community is another. Those are the types of things that are being looked at. But what we're finding is people are trying, or communities are generally trying to do these on a shorter term basis. You have people that need an augmentation plan. They're going to the state to decree a plan. The state wants as long-term a source of water as possible. And the providers, which are generally the communities, the cities, or the domestic providers, they're trying to hold back. So there's a little bit of interplay right there. Several of the communities, Longmont, Fort Collins, and Boulder, just simply won't do any more than 1 year at a time, that type of thing. And then everyone writes into any agreements they do have the ability to curtail their contribution if they really truly need it in a drought. I don't know what that's going to mean when that water is being used in a decreed plan that somebody has somewhere. So not real sure. The other big takeaway is one that we've certainly noticed and been concerned about, and that is that these programs take a lot of time. You're often working with small amounts of water, not always, but often small amounts, and the level of coordination that you need with the user so that your records, our records, and their records match. When they go to the state, the administration that we have on these, I heard from two or three of them said it would take another person to run these things, and we just don't have it. So they're holding back quite a bit on that basis as well. There are pros. There are some cons. Might be able to acquire some other water rights. I mentioned a little earlier getting CBT water on a two-for-one basis is an attractive proposal. It's a good thing to do that helps us out. And a couple of the municipalities said they would consider that if a proposal came to them. We might even be able to get some ditch shares. I would be more hesitant though to take ditch shares in exchange. I would prefer taking just CBT water. Ditch shares still have to be changed in water court. You don't know for sure what you're going to get. CBT, you know what you have as soon as you acquire. There's some potential for income, and in fact, some of the communities charge a lot for this water when they'll do it. On page 75 of your packet is a summary sheet which summarizes what we talked with some of the neighbors about. Fort Collins charges $400 a year. They used to be $600. They have that set by their council. I think it was Longmont is about $1,000. Greeley was more than that. It was like $1,600 an acre foot per year. So there's some potential there. And of course, if you can help your neighbors out, that's certainly perceived as a good thing. But here are the problems. Here are the concerns. Overcommitting the city's water during times of drought. It's easy to do this when you're not facing a drought. But if you're looking at a drought, and we've been there where you're looking for every scrap of water, just making sure that you've got access to it, it's hard to let things go on a plan like that. Another thing is just expanding our obligations outside of our own customer base and our own residents here. Do we want to make commitments to people that really aren't that close to the city itself? Already talked about the administrative time. And really, if there isn't a link to the city, there may not be a whole lot of benefit to the city either in this. So we're looking for where do we go on some sort of a leasing policy. Here's what we came away with in talking about this. There really does need to be some sort of a nexus to the city. The city should benefit in some way from this as a community. Certainly, you wouldn't think of doing anything that would cause any problems with our firm yield. If anything, we'd want to increase that a little bit through whatever trade or arrangements we made, but you don't want to go in the negative direction there. Bringing economic city, that has to do with the nexus probably, but economic benefit, cash, water shares, economic activity, whatever that happens to bring. Certainly need release language. Again, I don't know what would actually happen, but it ought to be written in there in case it's ever needed. Some sort of administrative compensation ought to be taken care of, because if the community gets very far into this, it really will take a lot of time. It's a real commitment to get into it. And our thought is, if we want to think about these, we ought to put something like a 5-year maximum term on it, and then that would be renewable at the city's option, not a combined option, so that we can kind of move forward, reevaluate, and move forward again if that's what it is that we want to do.
Larry, you talked about under the current and past plans, the two for Colson and Love and Ready Mix were under 25-year
right.
renewals.
Yes.
Are those mandatory renewals, or can the city opt not to renew?
No, in that case, those were written at the, lessor's option, I guess.
Lessees,
excuse me. I got it up back backwards. It's at their option,
yeah.
Not our option.
What is the timing of augmentation? Does it have to be continuous, or can it be seasonal, or how does that work?
Well, I've seen that change a lot over the years. It used to be that a lot of times augmentation could be accumulated and then placed into the river more or less in a block. And a lot of the river commissioners really like that, because they would just flatten out the hydrograph later in the season. But the decrees that are being written today just simply don't seem to allow that anymore. Some of them will still allow you to accumulate 30 days month by month. Occasionally you'll see one that's a week. A lot of them just say daily. And I've been in situations talking with objectors in one of our cases in particular, saying, look guys, we don't even have any way to do this. It freezes up. There's just no way to make this happen. And they were really generous and offered to let us go to once a week. So it turns out that the particular pit there filled in during the 2013 flood, and it was a real benefit for Loveland.
Stephanie had a comment here.
Yeah, if I may. Stephanie sent in a very lengthy email. Obviously, she has a lot. Sean, you have a lot of experience with this, and as does Stephanie with Loveland Ready Mix. And she said, I'm not sure I would have been able to vote on this due to conflict of interest, but following is my perspective as a lessor. And she was very sorry to miss this discussion. Leading those, all those good points are still up. She said, clear nexus to the city. She agrees very strongly with this. Adverse impacts on the city's firm yield. Agree with this. The economic or community benefit must be provided. Agree with this. And she thinks it should be a very strong economic nexus. A release at the city's sole discretion for conditions where the water is needed must be included. Agreed and think that this is, no, it, I'm sorry, that was the next one. She's very strongly in favor of that. Number five is the administrative requirements must not be burdensome. Agreed and think that this is best if administrative requirements are spelled out in the contract. At a minimum, the lessor should provide projected usage at least 3 months prior to each water year, establish how, communication, so on and so forth. And five, finally, on a 5-year maximum term, this one may prove difficult for lessor if they intend to try and use leased water for a state-approved augmentation plan, which is something that you mentioned there. If city's intent is to prevent use of this water in state-approved augmentation plan, then okay. If not, please make sure that the state has weighed in on what they want to see as far as lease terms are to approve. So, not sure what benefits the shorter 5-year lease gives the city. The longer 25-year term gives us the confidence to plan, operate, and invest. So those were Stephanie's comments.
Few people have more experience administering these augmentation plans than Stephanie does. She's had a lot of experience over here on some of their ponds. And several years ago, we visited pretty extensively about the time commitment. And, it may have become easier, but it was taking several months of time in a year, basically, if you spread it out, to keep up with all that she was trying to do over there. So her comments, I think, are certainly to the point. We have on the little table that I mentioned on page 75, Greeley has done a number of these. They've been kind of ad hoc, and they're now to the point they just about won't do them except for 1 year at a time, and they're charging, well, they charge $3,000 per acre foot the first year, and then $1,600 a year after, each year after that, up to 10 years. Their board will not go beyond 10 years, although their charter allows up to 20 years. So if you just kind of want to read through, you can see those kinds of little details in this little table that might help. With that, though, I think that our staff certainly agrees that we need to be careful with these things. We don't want to overcommit. I don't know the numbers for the other communities, but as I talked with them and about the numbers on some of their plans, it sounded like Loveland may have the highest acre feet commitment in the region right now. So we've done quite a bit already along these lines. So we're not sure what it will require or what will happen with it yet in the future. This is an area that I feel is still developing in water resources.
Larry, so I missed last month, so I appreciate the fact that the LUC said, hey, we'd like to know more and look at a policy. I think a policy is a great approach to this. Mm-hmm. I have maybe some nuanced comments to the language just as we continue the conversation, but I want to frame it contextually, if that's even a word. So as Larry said, he and I spoke briefly about it, and I've said many times I spent a former life at Greeley. Greeley was very adamant about the language that I see here with regards to the benefits and the impacts was the water enterprise. There was not city language and all that. And I'll give you a specific example. During the heyday of the fracking, I was water resource manager, and we were leasing out at $6,000 an acre foot. We just made the number up, and they paid like that. And we just said every year we'll just keep raising it until they say stop. So the city, they were getting treated water supplies out of fire hydrants in Greeley, and they were tearing up the roads. So the city manager came into my office with his hair on fire, saying, why are these trucks driving around my city tearing up my roads? And I said, well, because we're leasing them water, that's the only place we can get it, but we could invest in something that, you know, they can get it outside the city. And he said, what do you mean? What are they paying? How much are we getting? And at that point, we were just a quarter of the way through the lease agreements for that year, and we were already exceeding $1 million in revenue to the enterprise fund. So it was trashing the city roads and the general fund. The enterprise fund was getting it. He said, we have no problem. Because it was direct compensation to the same people, the ratepayers. So that's an example, and that puts it into context of some of the comments I'm going to make. The other one is St. Brandon Left-Hand Water Conservancy District, which I'm now employed by. We run a small augmentation program, small volumes of water, small net benefit to the overall community, and it is a pain in the rear. We also run it as a complete separate enterprise because we do not want the general fund subsidizing all of that pain. So we are able to quantify the exact pain and pass it on to the members. So that would be my caution, is ultimately it's just going to end up creating, it's administratively burdensome to the nth degree. And I don't think one FTE really even begins to cover it, because these are just ankle biter problems. Augmentation plans are just a pain in the rear. So with that all being said, I really like this, and I have some suggestions if staff or the LUC is open to it. Is on the second one, the no adverse impact, I think adverse needs to be defined. And in fact, I'd say no net negative impact.
That's certainly what we meant. We can clear that up.
And it says on the city's firm yield. Well, the city also includes firm yield in the Parks Department. So we might specify there that it's the water enterprise firm yield. Provides economic benefit for the city, either in cash or water shares. And this again goes back to my Greeley comment. In the case of Greeley, it wasn't provide economic benefit to the city. It was economic benefit to the water enterprise. And that may be a distinction we want to make as a community, and we may actually embrace it totally as the city. So if the general fund, for example, realizes a new mall that needs an augmentation, but the enterprise doesn't receive any financial benefit, is that something we're open to? And in the case of Greeley, they were not open to that. It had to be a direct economic benefit to the water enterprise. as far as either in cash or water shares, I agree with Larry. I think we just don't say water shares. They're going to be the gift that keeps on giving. You're going to, it's going to get, especially if it's becomes a political thing, no offense to the current council, but somebody will say, I got the shares that just are the best shares ever, and we have this policy that says we'll take them in, and they end up being dog shares. And then it gets difficult when staff saying they are dog shares. So I'd just say cash or CBT, period. With regards to CBT, in the case of St. Vrain and Left Hand Water Conservancy District in Greeley, it was 2-1 and it was on a 0.7 quota. It wasn't 1 acre, 100% quota. And I think that needs to be discussed or put in there. The administrative compensation, I think it probably needs to be annual, and I think it needs to include a inflator, because as I said, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. Every year, it's administratively more and more burdensome, and locking yourself even in 5 years, year three, you're going to regret it. One last thing that, Larry, I need some clarification on. It sounds like most of the requests for augmentation water are from treatable supplies that would be a glade, not wastewater, wholly consumable wastewater effluent. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we've had asked so far.
If there were demand for effluent, especially as we get the gravel pit online, mm-hmm. would we look at it a little bit differently? Where it's, hey, it sleeves off our vest, it's not water we would otherwise exchange up and treat, it's going to go back to the river anyway, let's get a little something for it. If that's the case, we might want to clarify the language in here of a, there's a policy with regards to treatable supplies and there's a policy with regards to effluent.
Yes, and part of the answer to that's going to lie in the future. For instance, if we have other gravel pits coming in seeking, it depends on where they lie.
Right.
We can't use effluent if they're too far up the river. There's too much intervening distance in there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're somewhat restricted, but I think that's a good point. I'd like to get your comments if you don't mind. You know, one of the other things that can happen to you here, and over the years when we've thought of this, I've referred to it as the tail wagging the dog, but we have to be careful because if you're under an obligation to actually be producing this much water on a day-to-day basis, it matters what kind of water you're using at the water treatment plant on a day-to-day basis. And you could be faced with a situation of having inexpensive river water available and not being able to use it because you've got to use expensive Windy Gap water so you can produce this water downstream. So that's part of not overcommitting ourselves that I want to be careful with. And so that's just another factor that we need to think of. Also, the city's large decree, the 202A decree, creates reusable water. A lot of municipal decrees do, most do, because cities are less consumptive than the historic farming, so there's a difference, and you can claim that difference. But the city's 202A decree creates reusable water only if we store it, not if you take it out directly and use it, and that's a little unusual in municipal decrees. Our newer decree, 392, will create reusable water under even direct flow conditions. So that's one more constraint that makes me a little nervous about getting too far down the road with Loveland.
Okay, well, I think you got some guidance there. Anything else?
Anybody has to answer? So are we going to take a vote, or do I need to make a comment? No. I wouldn't do it at all.
Make a comment.
I would do no augmentation. This is already sounding way too complicated.
I thought it was complicated until I heard that discussion about the power.
If we came to vote, I vote no, but I just don't want to have another administrative task put on our management.
We appreciate that, but we will be the applicant will be returning next month with their request, and I don't know if it will be the same request or a modified one. But we wanted to hold off till this discussion was had, and they will be back. At least that's my last note. They will be back next month.
They're planning. Well, they said they'd come back when we're ready.
Oh, okay.
So we need to let them know.
Do they have clear nexus? Do they meet the first bullet?
No. 15 miles.
They're up the Buckhorn Creek a long ways, so.
No. So what you're saying, there's no need for them to return with that policy?
If this is the policy. I mean, we don't have a policy. We're proposing one. Is this it? You know, and or maybe with some modifications.
I think so.
Sorry, I think we talked about it when you and I talked. I didn't pick it up. Is it a pond, or wells, or what's being occupied?
In their case, it's two small ponds that they want to use for fishing. This is actually supposed to be kind of a retreat or camp or something. I'm not sure. And then they have a mountain meadow they want to actually irrigate with, which apparently wasn't historically irrigated. So it totals up to 20 acre feet that they're requesting of.
And Sean, the proximity thing is an issue on this one.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I don't know that you have a map available, but it's
quite a ways up there.
It's up by Crystal Mountain.
West of Green Ridge Glade, yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Again, I actually agree with Joe's comment about comparing cities, and so when I say the Greeley thing, I'm not saying we should be Greeley by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of how they looked at things, it would not be at all unusual for Greeley to say, "Okay, you want a retreat? It's open to city. You know, it's open to the public at a reasonable cost to residents of Greeley."
Yeah.
And they did that in the case of a mountain facility. So, you know, that could then create that nexus if we were open to that idea. And that's some of the notes I had in there. What exactly is nexus?
Yeah.
Geographic proximity or benefit? And that's what I'm saying. If it is the water enterprise that realizes that financial benefit, then in that particular instance, as an example, just residents going there doesn't necessarily create an economic benefit for the water enterprise.
Right. It doesn't.
But if they paid us $1 million, then maybe it is.
It's a lot of water line
replacement. So that's the distinction between the city and the water enterprise. I think that clear nexus to the city gets a little weird because, sure, it could be a nexus to the city. I made my point.
Yeah. You know, it could be either way. I mean, you could think of this as obviously a direct financial benefit to the utility, but it might also be jobs or something.
Yep.
You're putting an economic development. Yeah, that would be a...
Yep. And in the case of, again, I'm not advocating Greeley here, but in the case of Greeley, knowing that council really had its eye on the economic benefit, the water enterprise carved out a specific bank of water that said, council, knock yourself out.
Oh.
It's available to you to do economic development, but utility's not going to get involved in that business.
Interesting.
So that was a clear separation for their version of the LUC and staff. They said, council, make those decisions, and you got the water to do with it. Knock yourself out. And they did it. They got Leprino in with that water, and they did other things with it.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it away.
Okay, Larry, you got all right. Good enough?
I think we've got some very valuable input for us. We'll be working along these lines. And I do want to spend some time with Sean because those certainly sounded useful as you were talking through them.
Okay. We got to get rid of that. That's gone.
Yeah, it's probably a
fall. It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. It blew a tire, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It really is. I think I'll just move.
There you go, Larry. Good job.
Yeah.
Don't forget the tire.
Where's the dumpster?
Take it right outside.
Well, Jim. Joe indicated that maybe we could postpone your presentation until next month.
I'd be crushed, but I have to be
Why don't we do that? Because it's getting late. We'll do that, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
We'll make sure he's here next month.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's move on to commission and council reports. Steve, you want to start off?
Yeah, you got it. It's probably use up the rest of the 15 minutes. I attended a water conference in Houston that was hosted by Water Now Alliance, and I found it pretty fascinating. Joe does not.
I did not. I never said that, Councilor. Said that.
Now, okay, the word was passed to me by somebody in a higher level.
I know.
That,
I never
you
said
were less than enthusiastic.
No, sir. I
and
never
in fact,
said
you said you got a call immediately after you talked with me.
No, sir. That is not true.
Okay. But the purpose of this conference was to provide opportunities for collaboration with water utilities. So I kind of went down there expecting this is going to be a Western, you know, United States thing, but there were people from all over the United States. And kind of one of my observations is water, like politics, is local. Everybody has a different, little bit different problem. And the East Coast, the water is not so much quantity as it is quality. So a little different issue. So some of the things they talked about is integrating land use and water use, growing interest in water reuse initiatives, including the use of gray water, rainwater harvesting, on-site, non-potable reuse systems, and a number of other things. A big topic, particular for the southwestern states, is water conservation initiatives. And many of the communities, specifically in the West, have embarked on what I would call a very aggressive water conservation program. And my feeling is eventually we're going to have to get to that point. But I think right now, since we can't store it, there's limited incentive for us to do that. But I had a couple of things that I wanted to talk to Joe about that I think we could get some great data and not cost the city. So we'll talk offline on that. And I had a report I sent to council that I don't know.
No, sir.
Get.
I did not.
Okay, I'll send it to you if you pass it on. I did a summary of that. Then I attended the Spring Water Users Conference in the ranch, and you probably, I don't know, anybody else attend that?
About.
Good. So I won't do some of that to summarize that. For me, it was great because I'm just a neophyte when it comes to water. 319 council approved IGAs on solid waste, and last night it was mentioned that Fort Collins has withdrawn their approval pending some concerns with some of their haulers. So we right now Fort Collins is out of that deal, and I think that's a big deal. Broadband, and you may want to talk about this, Joe, but the bonds sold in about an hour and a half, so almost $100 million in bonds went in quickly. The rates are great. I mean, 3.83% for taxable and 3.85% for non-taxable, which I think are really great rates. And the city had a really good rating.
A-plus.
A-plus, which is pretty phenomenal, really. So that's all.
Okay.
If I talk too much, you tell me.
No, that's fine. You did great. Commission reports. I don't have anything. Okay. Larry? Gene?
The only question I have is where are we in timing-wise with Chimney Hollow?
I don't mean to laugh. Gene, I am not laughing at that. I really wished that we could give you a timeline at the Northern Water Spring Users meeting. They seemed to indicate they were pretty confident about going forward next year with construction. It's going to depend on the courts and the litigation, which is before the courts. There was some progress.
Yeah, maybe I could. And the reason that Northern is now confident that maybe next year could be a year that construction financing is started, construction begins, is because Judge Brooke Jackson, the Denver Federal District Court down in Denver that's handling the litigation, had a flurry of activity, granted all these pending motions that have been sitting there for months.
Yeah.
Motions to intervene were finally granted for Northern, the subdistrict, Broomfield. A motion to supplement the record with new water studies, conservation evidence was rejected. The environmental groups tried to get new information in that the agency did not review in issuing the permits, which everybody else said, you know, you have the record for the permit, you need to review that. That motion was rejected. There was a case management conference, and now they're setting a briefing schedule, which would conclude sometime in August, which kind of gives Northern the hope that, okay, the briefs will be completed in August, all the arguments are there, and then you're just waiting for the court to make a decision. Once the decision's in, you know, then you wait to see if there's an appeal. But that's why suddenly I think Northern is telling the participants we may be needing to plan for a potential construction or 2020 budget. So,
thank you very much.
Sean, you got anything?
A quick story that leads to a staff compliment. So my kids go to Cary Martin Elementary School, which is on the south side of town, and I think Commissioner Olson's been to their leadership day. If you're not familiar with that school, they're a student lighthouse, Stephen Covey leadership school, so everything's done through the lenses of leadership. And if you're not familiar with that, look it up. It's spectacular. These kids operate at a very high level. and not my kids, but anyway, my son was involved in a stock, statewide stock thing where they give a fake $100,000 and if you get higher returns than the rest of the kids, you win actual real money. And my son and his buddy won the statewide competition, so the school got $100. And so the school decided it wanted to focus that on water, and they wanted to turn that $100 into something else so that they could do some sort of water project, and they didn't know what that was. So they ended up having a entrepreneurial fair, so all the students made stuff, and they sold the stuff to anyone who showed up at the school, which were mostly the kids. And they turned the $100 into $500, which, you know, in the scheme of like a Chimney Hollow project, that's not a lot of money, but when you consider they were selling stuff at a quarter apiece, they, to raise $500 was, they sold a lot of crap. They're taking that $500 and they wanna do something in water. So as a dad, I'm spending some time educating the teachers on water issues. And so it's all coming around to, I contacted, I'm gonna botch his last name, Chris Keisting at the
Chris
Water Keisting. Treatment Plant. And said, hey, I'm not contacted as LUC, I'm contacted as a dad. They'd like to do a tour of the water treatment plant, even though they're served under Little Thompson. He immediately replied, they got the tour, they're all set. So I just want to say thank you for that. It was good to be able to have that contact. These kids they're anxious to do something. They want to make a social impact. They've got money burning a hole in their pocket. They want to know about water. They're going to do projects, reports on different water use and how water is created and social impacts and all that stuff. And so they're getting a great education. I think it's going to be an ongoing theme for that school.
That's wonderful to hear. Thank you for that compliment. Chris, I don't know if I could use the word enthusiastic about Chris and water. I think I'd have to find something even better than that. And not only is he enthusiastic about water, he is enthusiastic about water education. In fact, he is teaching at a class that will be attended by a lot of water operators. Larry's going to be presenting there. Is it Thursday and Friday or just Friday?
I'm not sure. It's this week.
It's this
teaching Friday.
Teaching Friday. I think it's a two-day course. He is heavily involved in that. He is an absolute 100% true believer, and we are very, very grateful to have him. So thank you very much, and make sure we pass that along to him.
And yeah, he said as much in his email with a couple of three explanation points. So he's that's good. It was great.
Thank you. That's a great compliment to him.
John?
Yeah, I got really excited Wednesday when I came home after work and I saw a bunch of red flags up front indicating where the power was. I was thinking, well, they're going to put one of them nifty little LED lights in my front yard. Turns out they didn't, so I was very disappointed after that.
Sorry.
I've still got hopes up for that.
Yes, sir. We'll work on that.
Dan? Nothing for me.
Nothing for me either. Okay, so director's report.
I don't have anything. As you, those of you who were at the Northern, the Spring Water Users meeting, the snowpack is doing very, very well on both sides of the divide. And they gave an allocation of 70% to the CBT, 70% allocation this year. So hopefully it'll be a cool spring and a wet spring and a good water year for all of us. We've got some great new additions on the power side. We expect to get some more. And I hope to have good news for you next month about a power division manager. So keep your fingers crossed, please.
I just wanted to comment on Joe's snow. Snow conditions in Breckenridge were awesome last Saturday.
Oh, right.
For mid-April, right. It was dry. It was no slush.
No
at
ice.
All. No ice.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Wow.
Michelle, do you want to get a count of those that were attending the?
I'm sorry. Thank you very much. The Tri-Cities on a week from 2 weeks from tomorrow.
So if you could just raise your.
Everybody's going to attend? Anybody who can't?
I haven't committed yet because I can't commit yet.
So everyone except for Sean.
Oh, there you go.
No,
and Larry. So
what's the date?
Okay. That's Thursday the 2nd.
Second.
I believe. Yeah. Thursday, May
2nd. Thursday the 2nd. That's
May
correct.
The 2nd.
Thursday the 2nd.
Joe's not going to be there, right?
I am.
Oh, you are?
I am going to be there.
Okay.
I was going to talk to you about that. I haven't had a chance to talk to you. That changed in the last 24 hours.
Okay, well, good.
Joe's got the first one.
It's a great team.
And we owe a lot of that to Courtney. She who's not here tonight. Thank you, Michelle, for subbing. We really appreciate that. She did a lot of work, and I think the speaker is going to be outstanding. Demographics drives everything, including water and power and everything else. So I've heard that she is an outstanding speaker and really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with all you.
All right, anything else? We're adjourned.